night as Jeff read for us out of Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9. And the great question, am I my brother's keeper? To introduce the lesson this evening on overcoming loneliness. And truly, this may be a lesson as I give it that you might say, well, it doesn't apply to me. I don't feel lonely at all. I've got plenty of friends and family. I enjoy my relationships and et cetera, et cetera. Well, and that's great. If that's you, God bless you. And, you know, hope that continues. So therefore, use the lesson tonight, as we will see toward the end especially, as one who can help those who are feeling lonely. That part of the lesson in overcoming loneliness is, yes, if that's a problem that you have, want to suggest some things that you can do, but also then as individuals who need to reach out as brother keepers, that we might help others who have feelings of loneliness that we're aware of. And so let's talk for a few minutes tonight about this particular, unfortunately, very common malady that is shared by way too many. This particular lesson is one in a series that I'm doing on Sunday nights. And last Sunday night, we took a look at overcoming anxiety. And I'm sure glad that was over. I was very fearful of that lesson. Well, now that we got that out of the way, we'll move right on to tonight's lesson. But Lord willing, in the weeks to come, we want to take a look at the subjects of anger and grief and guilt. All of these are common to all of us to some degree, and so hopefully the things which we can share from a practical nature as well as the Word of God will help you in overcoming each of these particular things and be a caregiver to those who are suffering in this particular way. Lonely people, they're in the world. You may be one of them. You may know of them at work, here at church, in other social circles of which you are a member of. Lonely people feel left out. They feel unwanted, even rejected at times. And strangely enough, sometimes people who are very lonely can also be people who are surrounded by people. Just because you have people around you, we shouldn't automatically assume that, well, they're around people all the time. How in the world could they ever be lonely? Sometimes that's true, because the people that surround lonely people, they don't have any kind of relationship one with another. They may be in the same physical proximity, but there's no emotional or social connection there. And so because of the lack thereof, people tend to feel lonely. People who are lonely have a sense of worthlessness and have the ability or the lack thereof sometimes to build significant relationships. And again, this doesn't mean you're a bad person, doesn't mean you're going to hell, anything like that. But it is a problem that if you have, can be addressed, and I think you can overcome with the help of good brothers and sisters and applying some of the things that we're going to talk about then this evening. So let's get right to it then in talking about loneliness. And the first thing we want to do, as I have studied here, is talk about some different kinds of loneliness. I don't want to compartmentalize the point that you have one without the other. You may have bits and pieces of all three if you're a lonely person. But generally, when you talk about loneliness, psychologists tend to group them in this area. First of all, there is emotional loneliness, which again is the loss of an intimate relationship. You may have been close to someone, maybe even a spouse, and lost that spouse due to death or a divorce. And there is a sense of loneliness because of that particular loss. You may have a best friend type relationship, someone who is very close to you, and you've lost them because they've moved away, or unfortunately maybe they have passed away. Something has caused a loss in that relationship, and that intimate relationship is no more, and so you have a emotional loss and can feel very lonely. Sometimes people are alone socially. They just don't mix well with crowds, maybe even be a bit afraid of crowds, which gets us back to the anxiety idea. But nevertheless, they feel that they're aimless in life and very empty. They don't want to go with the crowd. They realize that there are certain crowds that are good, like the crowd at church. That's a good crowd to be in. But again, they don't want to be a part of that, and they feel very lonely, very out of touch, because they have a social problem here in dealing with that kind of situation. And then there is what the psychologists call existential loneliness, And this gets more into the spiritual side where people sometimes feel lonely, not because they don't have friends, not because they don't have close, intimate relationships, but for some odd reason in their life has no meaning. It has no purpose, no sense of direction. They don't have a real deep faith in God. They don't know where life is going, and so therefore they're very lonely. They don't understand why they're here, what their purpose is, what they should be doing, and because of all these very poignant questions, they have a sense of loneliness in their life because they don't understand how they fit into society, how they are to fit in into family and other type things, and because they don't know how to fit in, they feel very lonely. But one of the things that we want to bring out as we start to explore this idea of loneliness is the difference between solitude and loneliness, because they're not the same thing. Solitude can be a very good thing, where loneliness is not a good thing. Solitude is a voluntary, and notice that word voluntary, withdrawal from other people. Sometimes it's very healthy to go into your closet and pray. That's where Jesus told us to pray. Sometimes it's very good to get away from the crowds. Even Jesus wanted to get away from the crowds from time to time. He was fully human, and he felt the stress and the strain of other people in that relationship, and he just wanted to get away. And so solitude can be a very positive and a very good thing. But loneliness is when, for whatever reason or reasons, we're forced to be alone. We don't want to be alone, but we are. And so therefore it becomes something that's a little bit different. Solitude can be refreshing. It can be rejuvenating and enjoyable. We have some little time away. Maybe it's on the fishing bank or the golf course or riding our bike or taking a walk, whatever it might be. And we have some time alone and we say, you know, that's just what I needed. I just needed to get away from the cell phone. I need to get away from the fax machine and all that kind of stuff and just be by myself. And you feel better after having some time of solitude. But loneliness is painful. Loneliness is unpleasant. Loneliness doesn't help you recreate, which is the idea of recreation. You rest and recreate. It's something that bothers folks, and again, it's very uncomfortable. Solitude can be started and terminated at will. When you decide you need a little time by yourself, you say, I'm going to spend this time to this time, and it's just going to be me. And you set those boundaries. But people who are lonely, this idea just kind of sweeps over them and it hangs on and hangs on in spite of their efforts, maybe good efforts, to try to conquer it. And so again, solitude is good. Loneliness is not. And so we're talking about loneliness this evening. The Bible doesn't specifically discuss loneliness. I don't think you could probably look in your concordance. I didn't do it. I meant to, but I didn't get it done. To look up and see if there actually is that word in the Bible of being lonely or loneliness. But I think there's case to be made of some very, shall I say, famous Bible people who had times of loneliness. You know, Moses had a time of loneliness. And when he talked about, well, I'm all alone and I have all these people, God, and the work is just way too much. And he felt very much alone, very much overwhelmed with all the people that were around him. And God remedied that situation. I have to think that Job had times of being very lonely. He lost his family. His wife was not supportive. He had these three fellows come by and give him all kinds of bad advice about what was going on in life and what he ought to do. While the Bible doesn't specifically say, I don't believe that he was lonely, I just have a feeling, I've just got a hunch that he was. Nehemiah, Elijah, all had troubles in their ministry. Jeremiah, another one. I think they had times, while not specifically stated, where they experienced some loneliness. And David did say that. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 16, may be the closest thing we find to a verse in the Bible that talks about loneliness. He said, turn to me and be gracious to me, speaking to the Lord, for I am lonely and afflicted. Here's David, the great king of Israel, the one who had people around him all the time, and he could order folks around and tell them what to do and where to go and all these kinds of things. And yet we know that David had his problems, he had his enemies, and here he is, top of the heap, and he is lonely. He wrote that by inspiration, and he wanted God to be his friend. He wanted God to be with him and try to solve a little bit of this loneliness. And frankly, yes, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying by himself, remember that? The apostles couldn't stay awake. They weren't with him. I think there was some loneliness in Jesus' life at that particular time when he had to endure that time of prayer and that time right before going to the cross all by himself. Well, it's always good when you talk about any kind of problem to try to get to the cause. Sometimes we treat symptoms and wonder why the problem doesn't go away. It's because we're treating symptoms and not the cause of those symptoms. So let's for a few minutes here talk about some of the causes of loneliness. And you may or may not see yourself here, but if you don't see yourself, you might see somebody else. And if that's the case, then the lesson's for you in to be able to become that friend and become that one who has a relationship with someone who is lonely and help them to work through it. Believe it or not, one of the causes of loneliness is technology. We are too enamored with our internet, with our video games, with our television sets, and all these other iPod things and all of that. And what happens is we don't build relationships. I'm about as guilty as that as anyone because I've got all of that in my life. I go down and run of a morning at the desk, and I've got my MP3 player, and I've got my headphones. And you know what? When I have that on, it's amazing. Nobody talks to me. And then I don't know it. It's not them. It's me. Technology keeps us from having those relationships. We'd rather just be in our own little world sometimes when we've got that MP3 player and those headphones on. Technology can actually be a deterrent to those kinds of relationships. We'd rather sit in front of the TV than go visit with our neighbor. We'd rather sit in front of the internet and surf it than we would to go make a visit to somebody and try to encourage them. Technology can be a problem if we let it get in the way of having deep and meaningful relationships. Another thing that causes loneliness is mobility. Unfortunately, we live in a society that's getting worse on this and better, and that people move all the time. We've had a series of this within our congregation. With the closing of certain companies and downsizing of others, we've lost members to economic reasons, and they've had to uproot their families and move someplace else. Back a generation or two ago, generally you didn't venture much farther than where parents were and grandparents and aunts and uncles. They were all in a very close proximity. Now you may be working three states away from your parents and from your aunts and uncles, and you move all of the time, every 4, 5, 6, 7 years. That takes its toll. And again, it puts people in the midst of other people, but when you move a lot, you don't always build those deep relationships, hence you find loneliness. Urbanization, believe it or not, is a problem. The closer we live to one another, the more we don't talk. It's amazing, but it's true. How many times have you seen, and it's true in our city, they seem to build the houses just right next to one another, and yet we don't know our neighbors. We don't know who the people are down the street. I know all of you better than I know my neighbors. Now, I know my neighbors by face. I can call a lot of them by name, but as far as their lives go, a lot of them, I don't know anything about them. And really, I should if I want to try to evangelize them and introduce them to the Lord. But again, it's that living in such close proximity and the urbanization and our very fast-paced, quick lifestyles that keep us from having those relationships. Hence, people get lonely. And finally, television. People who sit in front of the screen seldom communicate. And this is where you can actually be lonely in your own family. You can find yourself not having a good relationship with your spouse or your children or those of your own household, whoever it might be. Because again, technology and the TV gets in the way. Turn that thing off and talk. Turn that thing off and do something together. Play a game, go take a walk, whatever it might be. And that will do a lot to trying to erase this problem of loneliness. Some other causes, a lack of attachment. Again, children don't always feel close bonds with their parents because, again, of these other reasons of technology and TV and urbanization. They become latchkey kids. Well, we haven't heard that term for a while, have we? But yet, it happens. And again, they find themselves to be very lonely. Sometimes a lack of acceptance gets in the way. The failure of others to show acceptance and spending time causes others to feel very lonely. And some folks, unfortunately, are lonely because they have a lack of social skills. I feel very sorry for these folks that haven't developed the ability to truly relate and get along with others. They may try to a certain extent, but they just don't seem to have, for lack of a better word, the mechanics to be able to get along and to be able to make friends and to keep friends. And because of that, they haven't properly developed those social skills, and hence they feel very lonely. They can't find friends, keep friends, and don't have a close circle of friends. Other causes might be low self-esteem. We underestimate our value and withdraw. We say, well, I can't do it as good as somebody else, and I'm not near as good as they are, or I can never hope to be like them. And so we just kind of give up and underestimate ourselves and withdraw from others in society and become very lonely. And unfortunately, it's that lack of self-esteem or low self-esteem that feeds that kind of thing. The inability to communicate, again. We've forgotten how to talk one with another because we're so busy with certain lingos and our technology and our jobs and everything else. Sometimes you put two people down and you tell them to talk to one another. They say, well, what would I say? what do I do now? And we've lost the art of conversation. And when you lose that, loneliness can set in. And some folks just have a very self-defeating type attitude. These are the ones that are very critical. They have a very high estimation of themselves, a preoccupation with themselves. They're very demanding of others, just the bull in the china shop kind of thing. And they run over people. They're that powerful, choleric type personality. And then they sit back and wonder why they don't have close friends and why they feel so lonely. Well, they've shot themselves in the foot by having a lifestyle that doesn't contribute to that. Now, I've hit you with a lot of things there because all of these contribute to the avenue of loneliness. And you might say, well, a lot of that isn't me, and I hope that's what you do say. But shall I say, for sake of argument, that as I went through those, do you know people that fit into that category? Do you know people that fit into one or more of those kinds of problems and say, maybe that's why they don't seem to be involved. Maybe that's why they're always on the outskirts or on the tangents or on the periphery of what's really going on in the church or in life. All right, if you know somebody like that, now you can be the caregiver. You can be the friend and say, I'm going to step up and try to fill that void in their life and help them with their loneliness. Very quickly here, sometimes situational causes are there because of our loneliness. These are people who are single or widowed or grieving or the elderly. Sometimes they don't get out much. They don't have relationships because they've been severed by whatever reason, and those situations prompt loneliness. And again, the spiritual causes, going back to the existential type of loneliness, people who have not confessed their guilt and still are carrying around their sins and don't have any kind of feeling of forgiveness, don't feel good enough about themselves to want to offer themselves to someone else as a friend, as a social confidant. And so again, sometimes the cause is spiritual. All right, so let's turn the table then with all of this and start talking about things that we can do to solve the problem of loneliness. And then what we're going to look at in the next couple screens is how to prevent it. You know, that'd be one thing you can do. You might say again, well, I don't have a problem being lonely. Well, you can help prevent it in some of those who you might be beginning to have that problem. First of all, admit you're lonely. If that's the case, and if that's really your problem, then let's admit it. This doesn't mean that you're a bad person, a terrible person. Again, doesn't mean you're going to hell. It just means you've got a problem here. And if you'll admit that problem, then you're on your road to recovery. And so if loneliness is creeping into your life, admit it. It'll be the first step in getting rid of it. Secondly, consider the causes. Which one of that extensive list that I just had up on the screen would apply to you? Maybe a couple, three might apply, but say, all right, here's what I've got to deal with. Again, you got to treat causes and not symptoms. The symptom is loneliness. To treat that, find out what's causing it and deal with that, and you'll be a whole lot better off. So consider, what is it that's causing me to feel lonely? What is it that I've really got to deal with? Number three, accept what can't be changed. If you have lost your spouse due to death, you have my condolences and sympathies. My heart goes out. I don't want to contemplate that ever happening in my life. But if it's happened in your life, I'm with you, but it can't be changed. It's time somehow to move on. I don't know how to tell you to do it because I haven't been there. I'm no expert there. But again, when we talk about loneliness, some things can't be changed. And so as we learn to accept that, then we can move on. Some people never accept their circumstances and dwell in there and never escape them. Truly, one way to get over loneliness is to look at the cause, look at what can be changed, what can't be changed, and begin to deal with it. Number four, alter what can be changed. You know, there may be some things in life that you can't change, and it's just set, it's done, it's over. But you know, there may be some things that you can change, some things that you can tweak to help you with the problem of loneliness. One of the things that you can do is how to develop your self-esteem. As we began this series of lessons last Sunday morning, and I talked about Maslow's pyramid, remember that? The fourth level was self-esteem needs, and the top was self-actualization. And that in Christ and in the church, you can have those particular needs met. And so truly, we need to go back and revisit those scriptures about God's unconditional love for us, and how truly Jesus has died for us, and how He's given us gifts and abilities that we can use, and how as we keep walking in the light as He is in the light, He says, we are worthy, Revelation 3 and verse 4. There's all kinds of passages that we can look at that builds our esteem in a very holy and scriptural way to tell us that we're loved and we're valuable and we're useful in the kingdom. And when we get all of those working in our life, then that'll help change what we can change and may help get us on the path of getting rid of our loneliness. Then take some risks. Yes, you might fail. Yes, a relationship might not work out as you would have wanted it to. That's what happens when you take risks. But try to enlarge your social circle. Introduce yourself to someone that maybe you just have a casual acquaintance to. You be the one who's on the offense, if you will. Don't wait for someone to come up to you, but try to conquer your loneliness by spreading out and saying, I'm going to make myself available to more people regularly. And take that risk and say, hey, let's go have a cup of coffee. Let's do this together. Let's just do lunch, whatever it might be. And therefore, changing the things you can and taking risks, the gamble, if you will, is worth it. And finally then, try to learn some good social skills, proper etiquette, patterns of behavior. Take those people that you look at and say, why is it that they're popular? Why is it that they have friends? Why is it they seem to mix and mingle so well? And watch them and say, I'm going to imitate that behavior. I'm going to take the way they deal with people and try to incorporate that in my life. That's altering some things that you can change. And I think it will help then with the problem of loneliness. Fifth, meet the spiritual need. Truly, when we take a look at the Bible, and I'm not going to take time to look at all these, I'm just going to mention them briefly. Spiritually speaking, in the church is where you can overcome your loneliness better than maybe any place else. Because we get together often as a body. We get together often as a group of people that allows you to have time to work on those social skills and to work on expanding your friendship circle and so on and so forth. And so remember, God has loved you unconditionally. As a Christian, He has adopted you into His family. You are have every right to be here as a Christian and a part of the group, and that will hopefully help you with your loneliness. Truly, Jesus is a friend who will stick closer than a brother. Jesus is our mediator in salvation and prayer, and He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to be your friend. God wants to be your friend. Those in the church, your brothers and sisters, want to be your friend and help you to overcome the loneliness that's in your life. What a wonderful way to start, because the best friend you could ever have would be Jesus Christ. Well, finally then this evening, how is it that we can prevent loneliness? Again, this lesson might be something to say, this isn't a problem in my life, all right? Let's make it your ministry now, or a little piece of your ministry that you can help someone else who's feeling lonely. One of the things you can do to help prevent loneliness in the lives of the people you come in contact with is to be active in this congregation. Build the local church with fellowship. Make sure that people are invited and know that they're welcome at fellowship events. Think about those who don't normally attend. Maybe the reason they don't normally come is because they feel so lonely. They don't feel like they're part of the group. You can make them feel part of the group. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Scripture says that the brethren were devoted to the fellowship. Maybe that's why they were so strong. Maybe that's why they were so evangelistic. Maybe that's why they did so well in the face of persecution. It's because they were devoted to one another. They were devoted to the fellowship. And they built that local church on the strength of their relationships one with another and their relationship with God. Secondly, we can prevent loneliness by helping people cope with change. Some people don't handle change well at all. And the change could be absolutely for their benefit. It's something that new that they should be trying or doing. And because it's different and because it's a change, they just don't handle it. Well, again, it doesn't make them a bad person. It just means there's a problem here and needs to be dealt with. You can help them deal and cope with that change. Be their friend and say, give it a try. You know, try it. You might like it. This might be something that actually you'll become very fond of if you'll just give it a whirl. Help them to come over that hump and get over that barrier when it comes to change. Help them cope with change, and that can help with their loneliness. Number three, instill an acceptance and confidence in people. Tell folks that they're valuable, they're worthwhile, and they're able. Many people who are lonely don't believe those three things. They don't believe they're valuable, they don't believe they're worthwhile, and they don't believe they have anything to offer. Hence, that's why they're lonely. Find something you know they can do. Help them to find their gifts and what they do very well, and get them busy doing that, and I believe that will help in their loneliness. You know, in Sardis, the church had a name, they were alive, but they were dead. And he told those people who remained and those folks that were still doing well, he said, strengthen the things that remain. Truly, there were some people there that could help them out of their deadness. And so he says, strengthen those so that they can strengthen you. And truly, we can do that with those who are lonely and afraid and feel like they're outcasts, instill confidence and value and ability in them to do what they can do. Number four, strengthen family ties. As parents, if you still have children at home, turn the TV off, turn the computer off, turn the video games off and the MP3 players, and have a family night. Play a game together. Talk, converse, find out as much as you can about one another. You know, there's a commercial on TV right now about this family that doesn't get along, and the wife buys a brand new minivan. And they all get in the minivan, and they enjoy the minivan so much, they decide to like one another again. And I thought, how hokey is that? But then I thought, you know what? The commercial isn't that far off. Because one gal's on the phone, another one's on the video game, another one's active in sports, another one's doing something on the computer. The very things I've been talking about in this lesson, they're all doing their individual things, and they're not together. They finally got in that van, and they got together. That's what we need to do as family. For loneliness and families, is spend time together, not in front of all this technology. And finally, you can help people who are lonely by helping them to grow spiritually. Build your relationship with God through Christ. That works no matter what you're talking about. You know, you want a better marriage? Be a better Christian. You want to be a better worker on the job? Be a better Christian. I don't care what situation you give me. You can make it better if you'll be a better Christian. You'll become more Christ-like and do it the way God says. It'll get better. That doesn't mean you'll be free from persecution and trial and problems, but you'll be better. And truly, that will help people with their loneliness when you strengthen them spiritually and help them to be all that they can be. That will be something that will be very valuable in overcoming that loneliness. Well, as we bring it to a close then, people who suffer from low self-esteem and the inability to create or sustain lasting relationships suffer from loneliness. We need to be people looking out, especially for our brothers and sisters in Christ who have trouble doing that. They are tired, they're scared, and they need a friend. You can be that friend. You can help them overcome loneliness. And if you suffer from loneliness, identify the causes as best you can in your life, and to the best of your ability, begin to work on those and grow spiritually, and you can be, once again, all that God wants you to be. We offer heaven's invitation tonight, as we always do when we get together, that if those who have a need to give their life to Jesus Christ have the opportunity to do so. It's a time when people who are not Christians can become Christians. It's a time when people who are members of the body of Christ but know of their need to repent of sin or ask for forgiveness or make needs known may do just that. And so if you have a need to be made known publicly, if we can help you in any way, please come now while we stand.